Well, I want to welcome those that will listen to this podcast here at Cross Culture Church. We're into the book of Daniel, and we're in the 11th chapter, and we are desperately trying to close it out. I have some Bible students here who have really worked hard and have been diving in, and they got big shovels, and they're digging out inspiration, motivation, and truth. We have already discussed the fact that the book of Daniel is a prophetic book. The word prophecy there in modern day terms would be a preview of things to come. Why was Daniel chosen to be the prophet? Because God is sovereign. God chooses who he wants. God operates through who he wants. And so he chose Daniel. Daniel obviously was chosen at a young age because he was captured at the age of around 16, 17, taken into captivity. But he had a great foundation. He loved the Lord and he prayed. And as we went through the book all the way, we see that his prayers availeth much. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we saw that his prayers took him and his friends, right? The people that were around him were prayer warriors as well. The three Hebrew boys went through a fiery trial and came out without smelling like smoke. Then here Daniel comes in and he gets thrown into the den because of his faith and of his discipline. Then he gets thrown into the lion's den. Not only that, there were a lot of conspiracies and things that went on. They plotted and schemed against him the whole time. But yet, in the midst of his captivity, he was free in God, and God operated through him. All right. So we move from that into the fact that he was given a gift, and the gift was being a seer, a prophet. The term means a seer, which means that God will open up revelation knowledge to you. So that you can see spiritually the spiritual things. As we know, the things that we see now were made of things that we did not see. So this world was framed by God's words. And so his visions are just the same. You don't see them right off, but yet they will materialize. And then there comes revelation, and not only revelation comes results. And not only results come circumstances and situations. So what can we draw from 1 through 11 so far? 1, that God is no respecter of persons. 2, that if you have an effective prayer life, God can show you some things, and also God can do some things through you. 3, that in this life we're going to have some tribulations, trials, and tests, but we should be of a good cheer. Because God has overcome the world, and guess what? He is not going to let anything overtake you without offering you a way of escape. But you will not be able to see that if you're not connected. Hello? So how are we connected? Through prayer. All right? So God may show you something that's going in somebody else's life, or something that's going to happen to somebody else. Or God can show you where you are planted in a situation and what's going to happen in your life. And all of that is preparation for a situation. Everybody say preparation. For a situation. So now there's a situation coming. And are you going to be sensitive to God about how to handle it? And you are not going to be sensitive to how he wants you to handle it if you're not praying. All right. So here we are in 11, and we left off in I'll go to 18. After this, he turned his face unto the isles and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Oh, that didn't do that. Then shall he turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. For you all who are just trying to catch up with us, we are now looking at what's going to happen through Daniel's eyes. So Daniel is now talking about people that are going to come in and do different things and what's going to happen to them. Why is Daniel given this part? It's again preparing the people that there will be change. Don't get caught up because one person is in authority now. Somebody else is going to come in and undo that. Right? So it's looking like bad weather. This day is going to be a thunderstorm with a lot of lightning. That's going to pass and it's just going to be rain. I'm just trying to use some terms that we can that we can understand. Anybody else? Portia? No. Anybody else? Everybody saw that? Everybody see this? No questions? Y'all dug that deep. Everybody got it? Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. We got people that are assuming positions, but they not going to stay. Again, this is preparation. Don't get caught up in what you see. Stay focused on what God is saying. All right? Situation. Look like I'm going to lose my job because my company has been bought by another company. Right? And you know usually when jobs get acquired, somebody got to go. Right? When every time you got a merger, we can't keep all these people, right? We're a little top heavy. So then somebody got to go. All right? If you're a prayer warrior, if you've been in line and in lockstep with God, you don't worry about acquisitions. You don't worry about mergers. You don't worry about being laid off. You don't worry about somebody else coming in taking your position because your position is in God. That God orchestrates it all. He sets up kingdoms. He takes kingdoms down. God knows what he's doing. So if he's sovereign and you connected to him, you should not be doing this. Wavering back and forth, questioning, crying, calling people on telephone. You need to pray for me about this job because, you know, if I lose this job, you know, I've been working on this job 18 years. You know, I got my pension. I got my 401k. And then I'm not going to be able to live in it. Really? Really? So now if it's true that in this life we're going to have some tribulation, trials, and tests, it's just your turn. Hello, it's just your turn. Must Jesus bear his cross alone and all the world go free? I think not. Huh? There's a cross for everyone, one for you and one for me. What happens when you're carrying that cross? You stumble. It's heavy. It hurts. Right?
Yes.
But then somebody comes along and grabs you and says, hey,
you can make it.
Come on with it. And help you get through. Y'all didn't see all that in there, did you? I did. I saw all that in there. Yeah. All right. But not in battle. 21. And his estate, and his in his estate shall stand in a who person? Who? So now here come a thunderstorm, right? We had a little rain. And everything got soaked, a couple of trees fell down because the ground was wet. But now we got a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Smooth talker. This the fox. This the slick. He come in. He really got bad intentions all the time. But he's not going to come in there boastfully. He's not going to come in there and tell you what he's getting ready to do. He's going to sneak in. Right? He's going to say, oh, king, Boy, I tell you, man, you the greatest one, man. If I could just work alongside of you, I think I might can be like you. Huh? I've been watching you for a while, Ken. You got some great ideas and things. If I could help you just get some of those things done, can you just let me help you in there? And when they get in there, what do? Take over. And utilize and do what they thought about all the time.
Who are we talking about?
you
contemporary.
Portia got it. Tell her who she is, Portia. Tell her who it is.
This is Rome. This is all about the Roman Empire and they're conquering the world. This right here, right now, is speaking of Julius Caesar. And just about before he dies. So Caesar is coming in to tax all of the world and brings a civil war against Jerusalem, enforcing higher taxes on them. But what we're talking about now, the symbolic person is Julius Caesar.
Okay. See, remember the little horn and all of other folk we were talking about was Alexander, mm-hmm. and he conquered a whole lot, did a whole lot, but he got defeated. Then his sons, they thought they were gonna come in and take over, but the mom did them in, and so this is all of these people rising up. They falling down. They, you know, everybody came in and thought they were gonna be in power, but God didn't have it. But now if you go back and look at it, all of it was prophesied. All of it, that was. Remember that this big statue, then you got these horns, and then you got all these. But see, the horns were people. And that's what we've been talking about. God used symbolism in there instead of calling the people names out. God could have gave everybody the name, could have told them the whole thing, but yet that's not how it operates. You get it here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And you're giving it as a preview so that you what? Don't get caught up. Don't get caught up. And they still trying to raise taxes today. Y'all should have laughed. That was a good.
They still trying to
raise taxes.
Raise taxes on the food and milk, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Better say I'm not funny. All right. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the Prince of Covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work what? Deceitfully, for he shall come up and should become strong with a small people. Remember how I told you how he's gonna be sneaky? And what happened when you get a chance to get in position and take over? He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers had not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, the spoils, the riches, yea, he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds, even for a time. Push, you want to talk a little bit about him?
Well, this is all symbolic of the Antichrist, and also giving us a view of Christ. I wrote, and there are two different yet worthwhile views in interpretations from 11:21-24. And both have good evidence to support them. First, the first view is that this is still pagan Rome. And with verse 22 being a reference to the power part in Christ's death. The second is that the prophecy here shifts over to papal Rome, with verse 22 referring to the papacy setting itself up against Christ, corresponding to magnify himself even to the prince of the host in Daniel. And you go back in Daniel 8:11, you'll see that reference is there.
Now I want you all to understand, as we were getting into Daniel, it's a lot of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was telling you, when you first start writing this, you got, rightfully dividing this, you need to have a pencil and piece of paper, because a lot of things that he said up front, he'll be talking about it toward the end, and you'll say, well, what is he talking about? You got to go all the way back and see what he was saying. Now think about this. He got the prophecy then, and it started to come to play toward the end. So in order to understand what he said at the end, you got to understand what he said in the beginning. So he was talking about one thing, and then that thing that he was talking about has now come to, has risen up. All of this stuff is going on from the first couple of visions that he had. And that's why when he got the vision, he did too. He interpreted too and saw one on his own, right? So he had to have the angel to help him, because it overtook him so much with all of this to be able to see and comprehend. Just like you said, who are all these people? Who is not doing this? Who not doing that? You think he didn't have them kind of issues? It was just such a weighty matter. All right, but go ahead.
Based on what Portia just read, and you correct me if I didn't understand what you're saying. Well, when I looked at verse number 21, I got to leave after this, I got to leave. When I look at verse 21, the vile person, I thought he was speaking of the same person that Portia referenced there in chapter 8, verse 11. And I determined that to be Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, which was the Antichrist. Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're on the same page there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you all.
So he was a booger bear.
Haven't heard that word in a long time.
Of course, she didn't say. But was he a booger? Or was he a booger and a bear?
Now, I want you to do this. And this is what I've told you. When you want to get in this book, you got to have some resource materials. All right. Either Matthew Henry commentary. Anybody else got Porsche? What do you?
I did different ones.
What other than Matthew Henry do you use?
I don't use Matthew Henry. I use Bible View, Bible Study Tools. I use a combination.
Okay, so
I do use it sometimes.
Okay,
but. In here, most of it came from other sources.
Okay. So, again, you have to get different tools and instruments to dig this stuff out. Mm-hmm. It's not always a shovel you need. Sometimes when it's rocks and stuff, you need a pick. you know, to get in here. Go ahead, Portia.
See, in this chapter, in Daniel and Revelation, is not the symbolism is the names of things, of humans or things, but the numbers are literal. Okay, they are literal. But so when we talk about symbolism, people think everything is symbol. It's not. It's the thing. The when he talks about here with the vile person. That's vile. That's a person. So who is he talking about? Then you got to go back, like minister. You have to go back and look. You know, you have to cross reference, because this takes you into Revelation.
Right.
Because Revelation is a lot of this has mostly time elements to the prophecies, but Revelation has symbolism. The woman with the. The stars and all that's all simple, but it has meaning. One of the things that I wanted to bring out, when we look at, if you look up the 12 tribes of Israel and look up the names of each of the boys' names of Isaac and the 12 boys that make up the tribe, look at what their names mean. And all of their names mean the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, bringing it to Christ.
Say that again, then.
All of the names of those that started the 12 tribes mean something in reference to this.
All of those names of those tribes of Dan and all of them.
Ephraim, Manasseh, all of them.
It shows you how all of the things that happened. before Christ comes, and all of their names show the turmoil and the trauma that the Israelites and even the Christians, everything comes, and then it just comes to the last name. And it will be, and I forgot whose name it is, but I'll bring it next week. When I found that out,
Week after next. Yeah, because okay. We won't be here next week.
Okay, well, I'll have it for you. It was just absolutely astonishing.
Now, I got a flow chart for Revelation now. I was saying, when I come in, I'm going to put it up, and we'll be able to go to it and look, and it's going to break down everything. The name, mm-hmm. Who's all involved in it, when they were born. I mean, this thing, it just unfolds and unfolds. So get ready. Get ready. Now, here it is. In his character, they say, he shall be a vile person. His name is called Epiphanes. I got it. There it is right there. Mm-hmm. Now, some of this I didn't really get into because I don't want to spoon feed y'all. You all have been here long enough to dig in there, and I'll give some topical stuff and try to relate it to you from how you can put it into perspective for yourself. So and you remember I've always said I want you to, when you're reading something, put yourself into it and let God show you his purpose, his what is he thinking, and how is he setting us up to understand what's going on in the world. God does not want us to be ignorant. And that's in there a couple of times. God will not have you to be ignorant. God don't want you to be ignorant. But God wants you to understand that there's a process going on, and actually you are a part of the process. If you are the body of Christ, then God is going to use you at some point, even if it's just to pray. Even if it's just to pray, God's going to use you in it. All right? He called himself Epiphanes, and that word Epiphanes means the illustrious. So he thought himself somebody, and guess what? He was a bad boy.
But the people called him the fool.
In my church, they said mad man.
Mad man.
Mm-hmm. But the way he came in is similar to what you just said. He eased in.
He eased in there.
I mean, he was
Satan.
Cool, so to speak.
Slide right on the
screen.
But see, and guess what else? He used flattery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, while we're talking about this, what does flattery appeal to?
Flesh.
Appeal to the flesh. So, when people telling you you all there in the bag of chips, stand back. Stand back.
I was just thinking back when I was little, my mom used to whip us, and I used to tell her, I said, oh, mom, you're so pretty.
Did that work?
She said, thank you, whip you hard.
Did that work?
No, she still beat me down. But I'm telling you, when you said flat, right, I thought about, you're the prettiest mom in the world. Your hair's so pretty. Oh, okay. Oh, you're just so pretty. She just beat me down.
She said, thank you, whip you hard.
Flattery. I kept on whipping. I didn't thought about that when you said that flat.
All right, I'm past my time. I'm past the time. So this is where we are, all right? I want us to continue to do your homework, to dig in here. I love to have as many questions as possible. We will not be here next Tuesday, but when we come back, I really and truly, I want to get 11 out of the way, and I'd like to have start going on into 12 so that by the end of June, we'll be done and getting ready to go into Revelation. I know all of you all are so excited about it. I've given you a book to start reading, to start getting ready. Portia's going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. And I'm glad that everybody's here that need to be here, because there's so much. I'm going to need help. And I want you all to really do some study. I see it from one perspective, but I want to know how everybody else see it. You know, you may say, I was looking at it this way, because when we get into Revelation, there's going to be a division in this room. Am I right, Elder?
Yes.
There's going to be a division in this room. Some people are going to look at it and say, I don't know. It seemed kind of like it's going to line up this way. And then another group going to say, no, you're not looking at it correctly. It's going to line up like this. And so I'm just preparing you now. So when you know, be prepared that when you get in here, you get your mind made up, and then you pick your side. You pick your side, because there's some sides to be chosen in here. It's not going to affect the outcome, let me just say that, but it is going to affect the outcome as far as you're concerned. All right? Now, I'm just throwing some nuggets out here, but get ready for it. I see you looking. You want to know what it is? I'll tell you up front. Post-trib.
Yep.
Mid-trib.
Pre-trib.
Will you be here in the tribulation? Will you not be here in the tribulation? Mm-hmm. And will there be one? So
So
I'm just whetting your appetite, because it's gonna get serious in here. And the way you look at it, and even the evidence of what you're looking at, it gonna have one person looking at it like this and say, well, it said this, so if it said that, it mean that. And the other group gonna say, yeah, but have you read on down a little bit and you go back and look at it, no, it says this. And so you're going to have, it's going to be some varying things in there. Now how is that going to affect you?
Well, I tell you, to be honest with you, I'm just sitting up here and listening to everybody, but chapter 1 through 9 was good for me, but these 10, 11, I just, for some reason, I don't have it.
You don't have it? We're going to get it. We're going to get it. And we're going to take time to break it down. And you still may have some question about it, and that's okay. And that's okay. You still may have some question about it, as long as you understand that in the end we win.
Right. But
and look, in the end we gonna be with him. In the end.
But 10 through 12, you got to get that in order to move on. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know what I got to do.
You tried.
I'm
didn't know what you were asking for, did you?
She
asked for this.
I asked for it, but I didn't think I would get. I thought I'd be understanding it more, you know, than I am.
But
grasping it more. And Brenna always said, "You got to study.
You got to study."
And I've been studying and stuff, but
But you got to have study tools too.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You got to have more than just your Bible. And that's why I gave you the book.
No.
The other one. You remember I gave you?
Oh, yeah, the other. But I thought that was just for Revelation.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Will it help in Daniel? It won't help in Daniel.
No.
It help with Daniel.
I don't want to throw it in there like
that.
Yet.
I'm going to take Daniel to Nacogdoches with me.
Huh?
Ride on that 10-hour drive.
She didn't get a book.
But it just.
The Revelation of Jesus Christ?
I didn't give you one.
You didn't come to our Christmas luncheon. She didn't get a book.
All right, I'll get you one. We got Betty and I bought some books to try to get y'all one tool that kind of gives another perspective of how Jesus plays in all this, which is going to be good. All right. Comments. Y'all still hanging in there?
Mm-hmm. We hanging in there with you.
You're going to be all right.
I want to get it, though. I mean,
you want to get it?
I want to get it.
It'll get clearer.
I mean, I want real bad.
It will get clearer.
So I can understand Revelation.
I want to just comment. I'm grateful for how the class went today. I'm glad our brother was here because you gave us a review. And I don't know about everybody else, but it helped me. And I appreciate your candidness to just be open about how we're understanding.
Right.
I was gone a little while in March, and when you come back, it's not easy to catch up. Mm-hmm. And just because you want to study something, if your mind is too tired and you need rest, you may not always get it. So I don't want this class going slow just because I may not be getting. I'm sure the teacher is always there by the Holy Spirit to give us what we need, and we're trying to run with some horses in here and just learn as much as we can.
Right.
Sometimes he's just really going fast, in my opinion, but that just means we just need to not condemned just because you're not necessarily learning as fast as you think somebody else is learning. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad to be in the class, and I'm just saying, Lord, just let me learn with the right motivation as much as you would have me to learn, and that I don't know right now, that I can't get. But I'm just glad to get what I can.
Yeah. And then everybody sharing that give me a different light on it too. You know, I can really kind of, you know, but I could see where, you know, the earlier part of it where I could apply to my life, like, you know, Daniel prayed and, you know, all the things that he was doing. And now with this part right here, I'm trying to remember all the kingdoms and and all that stuff. So.
Well, you need to have a history book. You need to look at history. History verifies that this vision was true, that all of these kings rose up. You know, you could go in and in history and look all these folks up, and it'll just flat give it out. But then you're having the spiritual revelation of how God used that with and against his people. Because every time a people of God got out of line, he used somebody to get them back in line. He used somebody every time. And so just think, you get out of line, God going to use somebody to get you in line.
Right.
You know. Now, to use this, and I'm going to pray and we close. To whom much is given, much is required. And so I want you to understand that you are not in this class just to understand revelation. You're here in this class to understand that God wants to use you in these last days of revelation. And you will be empowered after you read this. It should motivate you to do more in your life than you've ever done because of what you see coming in the end. Time is not on our side, and we are not in the last days. I believe we're in the last minutes. My buddy's not here, but when you talk about the bear and all of that, which is Russia, and you get to really taking these symbols and look what's on Pete Country's flags. That bear's on their flag.
Yeah.
You know, and look at how they played a part in history all the way up to now. So now, what is God telling you, and then what part are you going to have to play in it? To me, it's a more of us being a little bit more expedient about who we witness to, how we carry ourselves, and how we talk to people, because we need as many people to hear the gospel as possible, because it's going to be tough here shortly.
Yeah, I was listening to Sandra, and she said sometimes you talk fast, but ask questions.
That's why I love her. I told her when she came in, but she wants to learn. She wants to know. Mm-hmm. And so we want her to know. Yeah. And this is a good class because nobody's like, you don't study? How come you don't know that? Nobody does that because everybody wants you to, you know, to be able to get it. Because you minister to a lot of people. You know, to your life, you work with a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this class. We thank you for everybody that's here. We're not here by accident. We ask that you, even now, Lord, on our way home this evening, or wake us up in the morning and reveal to us your will and your purpose. We're thanking you right now that this word has went forth and not returned void, but it's going to accomplish that which you please and prosper unto where it is sent. And we'll be careful to give you alone all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.